flash forward to 52.
Okay.
In 52, my dad decided, we were in the fourth floor of the Orphan Building, he decided he wanted to have his own store. He'd always wanted a fine store. So in 51, 52, we prepared to design a store in Utica Square. He kept his shop in the fourth floor of the Orpheum Building, and we were in the Utica Square at the Far East End. The Utica Square opened in the spring of 52. Our building was not completed until September of 52 when we opened our shop there. I opened the shop there, the store in Utica Square. That's the first time we'd had a retail store. Dad maintained his shop downtown in the Orphan Building, and I operated the new store in the east end of the square, which was in the bowling alley building at the east end of Utica Square. We were at the south end of the bowling alley building. We closed it in 84.
Why did you close it?
It's a good question. Probably shouldn't have, because after we closed the store, my wife and I, okay, when my dad died, my wife joined me in the jewelry business. She had always come in and helped out during Christmas time. So she joined me in the jewelry business when my dad died. And she worked with me, and she was so interested that she applied with the Gemological Society and got all of her diplomas from the Gemological Society. She became a graduate gemologist, and I have all of her certificates. I did not. I was not a graduate gemologist, but she was. And she worked with me from the time that Dad died, shortly before he died, until we finally closed our second store in 3. Now, I have to give you the background of that, because we closed in 84. And then I pursued my plant breeding work. I went to work for Bill Holman, Holman Seed Farm up in Collinsville, for 4 years as a seed analyst. That was my love back in the olden days. I went back to that. Then I developed back trouble, loading seeds in addition to being a seed analyst. We'd have to load 50 and 60 pound sacks. And I was too old for that. So that got to my back. And so after 4 years working as a seed analyst with Bill Holman, I was talked into going back into business. So we set up another business then, Bobby and I, in the farm shopping center. And we worked there in the farm shopping center until 03 when we closed that store. It was on a limited basis. It was a limited store. We had a retail store there, and we did everything we did when we had our big store in Utica Square, but in a smaller space for those years until we closed that in 03. And that was my final retirement. 52 years of active work in the jewelry business, and since then, I've been doing an occasional special order work for some of my old customers, and have done many jewelry appraisals, and still do. I did a special order job for a customer last week. Hmm. I took in a job. He had an aqua that had been worn over the years, so I took it in from him. I don't do stone repolishing, so I took the job in and sent it into a lapidary to have the stone polished for him. So I did that job last week for a customer. So I'm still in the business, sort of,
yes,
and occasionally doing a jewelry appraisal. Over the years from 41 to now, we've done thousands of jewelry appraisals. Most of the jewelry appraisals done in the city of Tulsa were done by my father and me and my wife.
Hmm.
And I have copies of all those appraisals out in files in the garage.
What brands of watches and all were you selling in Riesinger's?
Okay, we sold Elgin and Hamilton, and a few other watches, but we never sold any of the prestige watches like Rolex.
Why is that?
We couldn't get the franchise.
Who sold Rolex?
Let's see, there were several in town who sold Rolex.
Yeah.
Basel did at one time, and then I think, did Moody's get Rolex? I think they did.
Yeah.
Now, I also worked for Moody's for a short time after I closed the store.
Before you went to the farm.
Uh-huh, right.
And you worked for Moody Jewelry for a while. Right. Did you know Mr. Moody?
Yes, I grew up with him. He was in my class in school. He got TB and had to leave and go to the sanatorium, so he graduated a year later from me because he spent a year in the TB sanatorium. So I knew him since high school days.
Yeah, I actually knew him, too.
Did you know
him?
Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he sold jewelry out of the trunk of his car.
Correct, until he had his three stores.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good story, too.
And I worked for him for a short time after we closed our store.
You made a lot of people happy, didn't you, with jewelry and weddings?
Pleased
and all
a lot of people, yes. That was a thrilling part of the business, to please young couples.
They come in and choose that diamond.
Choose a diamond. And in many cases, they chose it together. In some cases, the guy would buy a diamond and present it to her. But in most cases, they would both come in.
It was special for people
special.
To be able to
buy
and to buy at Riesinger's, because
yes,
you had a good reputation.
Yes. See, they knew that we knew the new qualities, and we had a diamond scope under which they could examine.
There you have one over in your desk right now.
There at the desk, So they could examine and know just as much about the diamond as we did by looking at the scope with us.
Where did you get your diamonds in those days?
Well, they're all imported, of course, from Africa. So we had dealers, New York dealers, who would send them in, who would acquire them from the syndicates in Europe or Africa. And we would have the diamonds sent in, of course, registered mail. We'd examine them under the scope, 30-power magnification for impurities, and examine for color and perfection grade, and grade them and report the grade to the individual and let them buy as fine a diamond as they could afford.
Yeah, what were diamonds selling for back then?
Well, they were not as high as they are now, but throughout the period, they, of course, increased in price. Throughout the years that we sold them, they increased in price over the years. So it depends upon what period you're talking about.
In that period of time, in the 50s and 60s, you could buy a good diamond for how much?
Well, you could spend any amount. Any amount from a few hundred dollars to several thousand dollars.
Right.
But the prices ranged. You see, diamonds became graded very accurately back in those days with the GIA system of grading. And so as you bought a diamond, if you bought it from us or anyone equally qualified, you would buy it based on what you see in the diamond as impurities or inclusions. And you'd have to depend upon us to discern the color, how much yellow was involved in it. If it was clear or bluish clear, it commanded a higher price than if it was yellowish or brownish. And there were a number of different grades under the GIA, Gemological Institute of America, system of grading. And many of our customers were interested in the grading system and wanted to buy as fine a diamond as they could afford. So that was our job, to help them buy the finest diamond they could afford for the price they had to spend.
But you had people from all walks of life.
All walks of life,
you had the very wealthy in Tulsa come
had
to you.
Had the very wealthy to the very poor.
Yeah.
Correct.
Did you ever... You knew somebody didn't have much money, but they sure wanted that diamond for their bride. Did you ever cut the price or do anything like that?
No, we never cut a price. We always priced based on our cost.
Yeah.
A very nominal markup over our cost.
Right.
But if they had a price to spend, we'd go down into a quality level and size at the price they had to spend.
Did you ever do a layaway plan?
No.
Yeah. And charging, and of course we didn't have credit cards, and it was all cash.
Most of the time, we'd have Visa and MasterCard.
Okay.
So we let the companies cover the risk. We had a few individual charges, but that proved to be very unwise over time, and so we went to an altogether dependency upon Visa and MasterCard and American Express.
Yeah.
Where there were no risks involved to us.
Right.
We always priced our diamonds less for less money and more exactingly than other jewelers. Most other jewelers did not have our background and experience in grading that we did. So people that were very careful and exacting would come to us that wanted to get the finest diamond they could buy for the lowest price.
You had a great reputation.
Yes.
Because of your background.
Because of our background.
And you brought that to the table more so than...
We brought that to the table. See, we were the finest jewelers in town. We were the only store that had a complete shop where we made our jewelry completely by hand in our shop. That's how we started in business as jewelry craftsmen. And then, of course, we started selling merchandise also in addition to making mountings by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sold the manufactured mountings also from other manufacturers. So my dad, with his experience and with my experience with him and working with gemologists and jewelers over the years, we were the most knowledgeable jewelers in this part of the country.
I'm going to say you were the jewelry
store. We were the jeweler.
Uh-huh. Right.